This call is being recorded.
This call is being recorded, and you are listening to...
Keeping Up With The Fatness. How you doing, brother?
I'm good, my man. How about yourself?
I'm doing very well. I'm standing out on my patio, and I'm making eyes at the most adorable little bulldog puppy I've ever seen.
And you're also in a new location.
I am. I'm in Houston, Texas. Been here since Saturday afternoon.
Holy shit.
Yes, sir.
You're a genuine cowboy now.
Apparently. Still waiting on internet.
Oh, that's whack.
Yeah, it's a self-install location, so they're just sending me the modem, which is coming UPS, because there's apparently no place I can just go and pick up a modem. So I've just been checking to see if they dropped the package outside my door since I got home from work.
Mm-hmm.
There's not really a whole lot else to do right now. So we packed up just the essential Blu-rays. That's all of Star Wars and all of Harry Potter. And we didn't bring any other movies. We had to get a cable to connect our phone to the TV so we could watch, like, Netflix and stuff.
Well, I mean, Houston's a 5G city, too, so you're all set.
Oh, yeah, yeah. My service has been... Like, 5G is fucking baller, man.
I just got a new Samsung Note 20.
Yeah.
And it also has 5G, and I have gotten to use it all of one time, and I have absolutely no idea why I'm paying for it.
I thought it was just, like, part of the plan. Like,
no, it's 10 bucks more a month.
For my plan. Oh, really? Mine?
Yeah.
I'm not paying any extra over here at T-Mobile.
Yeah, it's because Verizon likes to fuck people. But it's the best service I've ever had. I had T-Mobile, I've had AT&T, I've had Sprint. Verizon is the best one for this area.
Okay. So I'm out on my porch where I can actually overlook the neighborhood instead of the entrance to my parking garage.
Mm-hmm.
And I can actually smoke butts on my porch. It's not prohibited on the property. As far as I know, it might be. Nobody's told me so. And I'm on a porch on the third floor. Who's going to tell me to stop?
I mean, it is Texas, so...
Yeah, I'm all about my freedom over here.
I was
fully
just
vaccinated.
Say anything...
I can go everywhere with my face uncovered.
I mean, I've just been doing that, but that's okay. I don't believe your false narrative, sir. Anyway. As much fun as it is to make fun of those people.
Mm.
Nah, I wear my mask, like, when I'm out in public and doing, like, just, you know, being normal. Like.
Yeah.
Big deal. Throw a piece of cloth on your face. It's not that big a deal.
Like, I still gotta wear it at work. But,
Yeah, I just don't.
I'm sure that's on its way out.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't. It's rare that I see men. I see maybe 10 people all day.
Yeah.
I have my safer barriers set up and all the rest of that, so I just don't.
So every time I text you about what time we're going to record, I add an hour, because you're an hour in the future now.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Future. The future is pretty bleak, ladies and gentlemen. Pretty bleak.
Yeah.
But
the
you
next
know what? You come, here for,
not
you come here for entertainment, not doom and gloom.
I'm going to walk on up to my lofted office space accessible via spiral staircase.
That's pretty dope. I'm not going to lie about it. Your apartment looks fly as fuck.
It's really nice. And it's all carpeted up here. Like, we have no furniture. So down in the main space, you're going to get a lot of echo out of me. But up here, it's all carpeted.
I was just
going to
say, the echo the echo completely stopped when you went upstairs.
Yeah.
Oh man.
But yeah, we brought all the cat stuff. But yeah. Like all of our furniture is on its way in a U-box. So we're living off of an air mattress. Our entertainment center is an igloo cooler with a suitcase on top of it. And the TV
on top
of that.
All right. Let's be totally serious. There is nothing more Texas than that.
True. Yeah, we exist in the bedroom, the bathroom, and the kitchen, and that is... We've got all of Loki's stuff, so the rest of the apartment is basically just his house.
Oh, boy.
His toys
he's
going to
think that it's his house
open.
For quite some time here.
Yeah, he's been having fun with the stairs. He's never had stairs before.
Oh, I bet. I bet he loves that. Man, I just realized I have hydraulic oil all up and down the side of me. Great. All right.
You're a fucking mess, bro.
whatever. It's the life of a part time. So I
made some notes, not like nerd dump style notes, but I got like show notes. Just things that I have observed and thought of that I've made a note of because I wanted to like talk to you about.
So before we get into your notes, I have
on quite an adventure.
I have to issue a full fledged apology. The simple fact that I watched one episode of The Clone Wars and was all about it, I sincerely have to say, from where I stand as a Star Wars fan, where I said, fuck it, we'll just have someone else deal with it,
yeah,
was ignorant and despicable on my part.
Mm-hmm.
And I apologize to our fan base for not giving it its due.
As soon as I got internet set up, I'm going to try it again.
I'm telling you, Michael, it is pretty good. I'm like six or seven episodes in.
Yeah.
And I enjoy it.
Folks at home, he's talking about the Clone Wars. We've been talking about this for days, but you didn't hear that part. So he's talking about the Clone Wars. He finally started watching the Clone Wars. But on that topic, Dave Filoni, the showrunner on Clone Wars and Rebels and Resistance and now Bad Batch, and also like Jon Favreau's partner in crime for The Mandalorian, he has been... he's been promoted to executive creative director of Lucasfilm. You're losing me?
No, I got you back now.
Okay, did you hear what I said?
Yes, you said that Dave Filoni has been promoted to executive creative designer for Lucasfilms, which...
Executive creative director.
Okay, so still even better.
Yeah.
So that means Kathleen Kennedy is just out.
Like, she's in charge, but just, like, she's just the boss. She's not doing stuff.
Good. Good. That's the way it fucking should have been.
She really, like, she's a fine businesswoman. She never should have been, like,
creatively
in
charge
of stuff.
They never should have said to her, no. You can go ahead and do this. They never fucking should have said that.
Yeah. So he's going to be guiding the entire franchise from now on, just like interconnecting stories and like creating a like brand new Star Wars.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Jeez. The ceiling up here slants at a certain point, and I just walked right into it. Yeah.
Well, new space, new things to learn about, shit happens.
Yes, sir. Indiana Jones 5, they revealed, like, a basic plot for it.
Say that one more time.
Indiana Jones 5, they revealed, like, the basic plot for it.
Indiana Jones killing Nazis.
So, yes. But, so here's the thing. The last time we saw Indiana Jones was 1957. That was in 2008. Yep. So now it's 1969. And man is getting ready to go to the moon.
Are there going to be Mikkelsen, Nazis on the moon?
Mads Mikkelsen is a Nazi scientist working for NASA.
Oh, man. So there's going to be Nazis on the moon?
Yes, sir. Nazis on the moon. Or Indiana Jones is going to try and prevent Nazis from being on the moon.
Okay. Okay. Can I just be serious when the first thing that came out of my first thing that came to mind when I said Nazis on the moon was the Futurama Whalers on the Moon theme?
Yeah.
We're whalers and all on I the pictured, moon.
And all I pictured was like Hitler coming out of a space pod saying, "We're Nazis on the moon." And yeah, no, that tickled me the right way. That definitely tickled me the right way.
I'm gonna I'm gonna get through some one last nerd thing before I move on to my other notes, because there's some stuff in here we could work with. They're making a Thundercats movie. We're getting a Thundercats movie.
Is it gonna be a live action Thundercats movie?
Like as live action as a Thundercats movie would be.
Oh dear God, I hope not. Like all I keep thinking about is like the Cats debacle.
Yeah. Cats was a perfectly watchable movie. I feel like the people who I saw Cats on Broadway. Didn't really like it, but I saw Cats on Broadway, and I feel like the people who really complained about Cats are people who never saw Cats. Because it's fucking weird. Like, it's a weird show. You still there?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm here.
So the Thundercats writer...
I'm just answering a quick couple of messages.
The writer of the Thundercats movie says, and I quote, "I don't think people are at all prepared."
Really?
Yeah. Apparently Thundercats is going to be fucking awesome. There is a town in Louisiana called Gross Teat.
What?
Something I wanted to mention. There is a town in Louisiana called Gross Teat.
Ew.
Yeah. Spelled GROSSETETE. Gross Teat. I suppose it could be Gross Tete, but that's only worse.
I was going to say that.
What's up?
I mean, that still sounds worse.
Yeah. We stopped for gas in Alabama, and there was a barbecue shack in the parking lot.
Again, I'm not surprised.
No, not at all. But it was just like, it's this wooden shack sitting off to one side of this gas station.
Well, that... No, dude, that's not that bad.
I guess so. It was just odd to see. It was weird. Everybody's just getting their gas, and you smell pork. And you're not sure why you're smelling pork.
Because it's the South, and there's always pork.
There's always pork. I got pork in my fridge. I'm making pork for dinner. I got pork loins and pork chops.
I love pork chops. I like pork. I like pork in general.
Yeah. I'm doing pork loins with Brussels sprouts for dinner tonight. You like Brussels sprouts?
I like Brussels sprouts.
Fucking love Brussels sprouts.
I like Brussels sprouts when they're cooked with like a good flavor. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, no,
Crystal's mom, for those of you that have just tuned in, Crystal is my ex-girlfriend.
Yeah.
Whom is not a big fan of this show because when we first broke up and we were still doing episodes on like CloudShare.
Yeah. Yeah.
All we did was talk shit about her.
Yeah.
Like it was brief instances of Star Wars and fuck this bitch. Like but her mom made probably the best Brussels sprouts I've ever had, and they were simple.
Nice.
But Longhorn Steakhouse, they have like this honey garlic Brussels sprout,
oh, yeah.
And it is fucking bomb, days. Michael.
Yes, sir. So I do it with
so good.
Lots of salt and pepper. I do it with minced garlic. Olive oil, sometimes butter, and I put Parmesan cheese up in there. The wife, she does it with bacon. She just chops up bacon, mixes it in with the Brussels sprouts with some butter, and that's all the flavor you need. Bacon and butter.
Tobacco cigarettes are delicious.
Yeah.
What are you doing about your tobacco situation down there?
Stocked up before I left, and I have no idea. I hope I make a friend soon. It took me a while to make a friend back in North Carolina, but...
I mean, I'm hoping for you.
Yeah. I'm trying to take it easy. I got a decent amount. I got a decent amount of tobacco cigarettes, and I got a few pre-rolled tobacco cigarettes.
Okay.
So, yeah. You know how in Philadelphia, you know, they got those stairs that Rocky ran up?
Mm-hmm.
And he gets to the top of the stairs and he throws his arms up in the air, jumping up and down.
I mean...
So they got a statue of Rocky. They got a statue of Rocky. And you'd think that, like, this statue of Rocky where he's throwing his arms up in the air, jumping up and down, you'd think it would be at the top of the stairs. It is, in fact, at the bottom of the stairs. I just feel like that's really... like, against the story of Rocky. You get that Mass Effect Legendary Edition, sir?
I did. You're downstairs again, aren't you?
No, I'm still upstairs.
There's an echo now.
Oh. Okay. It's going to be like that for a little while.
Yeah.
Probably
this episode
and the next episode I'll have an echo and then I'll get my stuff.
I was just going to say, then my furniture will be here and it won't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I downloaded that, I want to say, a week ago.
Cool.
And, I only started playing maybe a few days ago.
Okay. How
is
it?
It is an absolute masterpiece.
Like, perfect. I watched a review that was, like, really glowing.
The graphics are incredible. The detail is incredible. The first time I saw the Citadel, I almost fell out of my chair.
Nice.
And I was like, oh my God, it's actually detailed. You can see the lights. You can see, like, the rows of like, the buildings on the arms and all the rest of that. It was absolutely stunning.
Nice.
They did a great job with it.
So does it feel like... So sometimes when I play a game that's a remake, is that, like, the thing that's so great about it is that it feels like what you remember the game being rather than what the game actually was.
Yeah, well, it's a shot-for-shot remake.
Yeah. But they've also, like, ironed things out and all.
No, I've come across a few glitches that...
Okay.
Remind me that it's Mass Effect.
Okay.
Like yesterday, I was leaving. I was leaving a bunker, and Shepard wouldn't turn around. He just kept running backwards. And like I got him like halfway sideways, but it looked like he was just crab crawling. Like foot over heel, fucking crab walking. And it made me laugh really hard. I was like, what? Well, it's Mass Effect. Great. Good. I'm glad it didn't lose that character. But,
Commander Zoid.
I do feel
Shepard.
Like... I do feel like... the leveling system seems easier.
Okay.
Because...
What's your difficulty at?
Oh, normal. I'm just playing it on a normal playthrough. I'm not, like, hardcore or anything like that. I'm just enjoying the game for what it is.
Okay.
But for some reason, I feel like in the original one, you know, like, you ever play, Bioshock, right?
Like, most of the first one and most of the third one.
Okay. The way you talk to people, how you select it on that wheel.
Yeah.
Well, there are two... Every once in a while, you can choose to, like, be convincing to people if you, you know, follow the right path of questions through the whole thing.
Yeah.
And, like, you can either intimidate them or you can be, like, consoling. You know what I mean? It's like your charisma score in D&D. Your intimidate check and, like, your persuasion. You know what I mean?
Okay, yeah.
I don't know the word that they use for their, like, persuasion thing. But I know intimidate is one of them, because why wouldn't it be? And you can put skill points in those to, like, unlock different things. So, like, you don't have to battle it out with somebody. You can convince them just to stop doing what they're doing. Like, the Legend of Shepard precedes you, so they have, like, this, like, imposition of you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And so I feel like in the original game, you had to get to a certain point to unlock those. In this one, they're just open. So I sunk a bunch of points into them, and I'm like, you can get kind of cool stuff with that.
Okay.
You get a discount. You get discounts at your. You get for all the good ones. It's like good and bad, obviously. But like the intimidate one, as you level it up, you get like more money back when you sell stuff. And the fucking the other one, you get a discount on the other stuff that you buy. So my discount is really good, and my I'm going to sell you stuff is really good because people are either afraid or like it.
Nice.
At the same time.
Mm.
So it's pretty great. I like that. I'm glad they did that because it does make the game easier. Because the Spectre equipment is super expensive.
Mm-hmm.
But you're also not supposed to have your full Spectre gear until, like, more like the last quarter of the game.
Okay. You would assume that, like, you would get it. Like, it would be part of the game, not something you
well,
have to go
the,
buy.
Well, don't get me wrong. It's not like, it doesn't say like Spectre armor or something like that. It's all of that stuff. They call it the rare stock.
Yeah.
So like they're rare weapons and things like that. But you get those. They're like, you know, they start, I think, at like level 7. And I'm at level 3 or 4 when I'm picking stuff up off the ground. That's going to change as I move through, like, the story missions. But I still have all of those story missions to go through because I'm a weirdo. And my RPG thing is let's do all the side missions and then the story mission. Because you want to be as bolstered as you can be going into the more important parts of the game.
So the mission, I think this was the first Mass Effect. Do you remember the mission where it's like a dinner party or something? You have to break into this rich dude's house. It's like a heist. You gotta like sneak into this house.
That.
It was either the first one or the second one. But that mission,
okay.
I can't remember a lot of details about it, but that was a lot of fun. It was a fun, like, role-playing experience. Don't you dare try to jump to there. Don't you dare.
He's going to do it.
It's so dangerous, bro. Don't you dare do it. Thank you.
He's going to do it.
He sat there and realized he couldn't do it. He's been, like, calculating. So there's this half wall at the top of the stairs, and it's directly across from the top landing of the stairs. So he's been, like, calculating his, like, risk. I think he could probably make it jumping down, but not jumping up. He's too clumsy for up.
Cats are always too clumsy for up.
Just stop. He like does stuff that he knows will piss me off, and he stares me in the eyes when he does it. You're going to get hurt. The thing that I love the most about Fallout 3 and New Vegas is that, like, that charisma stat, if you got it high enough, there were some fights you just didn't have to do. Like, you could just talk your way through any situation. Like, it's supposed to be a boss fight, but you just, like, tell this guy not to bother fighting you and to go away.
No shit.
Yeah. Fallout 4, it was not, you didn't have, like, there were times you could not possibly avoid a fight. Like, it forced you into a fight. And the thing I loved so much about the older ones is that you could talk your way out of situations. The same goes for, like, Oblivion versus Skyrim. There are too many situations in Skyrim where you can't talk your way out of a fight. And I feel like if it's a real role-playing game, you should at least give me the opportunity to attempt to do so.
I mean, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Skyrim's
still, like, my favorite
world.
Game in the world.
Well, yeah, that's
Skyrim's
how I feel about
Mass Effect, game.
Too. Yeah, the kid I work with, he kept on saying, he's like, oh, well, I'm like, I'm at this point. I'm like, man, I remember when it was my first playthrough of Mass Effect and how far I fell in love with it. And even today, I mean, now this Legendary Edition came with, like, all the DLC. So now I'm playing through a game that I have beaten a large number of times.
Yeah.
And I'm playing new missions in it. And now I get a little bit of a glimpse into, like...
Oh, you never played the DLC?
I never played any of the DLC.
That's so exciting for you.
Because I always
That's
knew.
That's so exciting. That's the coolest thing. A game you've played a million times, but you never got to play, like, the extra stuff. Oh, man,
yeah.
I'm jealous.
Dude, the game is so good. I already did one of them, and I was like, oh, my God, this whole thing's new. and I explored the absolute fuck out of it.
Yeah.
Like, one of the new ones, spoiler alert, I guess, fuck you if you haven't played the game yet, there's a race that, like, most of them are terrorists, and I forget what the name of the race is, just because...
That's never a good thing to have.
Yeah, right? And, they try to sabotage, like, they brought this big comet to another, like, planet to mine it and do all the rest of this, and they put a little, like, they put a settlement inside of it for the miners.
Yeah.
And, it's an asteroid. It's not like a planet or anything like that. And, they use these big giant plasma engine, like, plasma jets to move the asteroid closer. So what this terrorist group did, they went in and turned all the jets on and were trying to crash it into the planet. And, you had to go and shut off all the jets, and there were a whole bunch of, like, little things you could find along the way, and it was really great. I had a great time.
Nice. There is this one mission, the opening mission in Saints Row 3. Have you ever played Saints Row 3?
No, I didn't play any of the Saints Row games.
Imagine if Grand Theft Auto as a series was made by Michael Bay.
Okay.
Yeah. But
the only mission I remember from any Saints Row game is when you take the manure sprayer and you cover a whole town in shit.
That's a good one too. But the opening mission, first you start by robbing a bank. And what you do, and everybody, you're celebrities by this point. It's Saints Row 3, everybody knows who you are. And everybody's taking pictures and shit while you're holding up this bank because you're so famous.
Uh-huh.
And what you do is lift the safe out of the roof of the bank. And you're riding on it, and, like, the FBI is, like, shooting at you from rooftops, and they're chasing you in helicopters. And eventually you end up in an airplane. And the airplane gets attacked, and you got to jump out of that airplane and kill a bunch of dudes as you're, like, falling through the sky and then crash through the window of another airplane. And as you're just flying through that airplane, you're killing dudes left and right. And then you fly out the back of that airplane into another airplane, all the while just killing folks while you're falling through the air, one airplane after another. It's ridiculous. It was arguably the most fun I've ever had in one mission and in any game ever.
I was just going to say, that sounds awesome.
there's a re-release of Saints Row 3.
That sounds incredible.
That's a fun fucking game, bro. So you remember how Grand Theft Auto used to be a PlayStation game? It used to be PlayStation exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
Until Xbox. Or Xbox 360. Was it Grand Theft Auto 4 came out on both. But before Grand Theft Auto was on Xbox, they had Saints Row. Saints Row is the Xbox Grand Theft Auto, and it shows. Dude, you got stuck the last time. Why are you doing it again? You're such a dumbass.
Because this time will be different.
It's this long, narrow, like, handrail, and he gets himself out to the end of it, but he's got so little space he can't figure out how to hop down. And he's such a dumbass.
Poor guy. That's funny. He just can't figure it out, huh?
Yeah. Oh, but if you've never played Saints Row 3, you gotta. They got stupid after Saints Row 3, but Saints Row 3 was stupid, but it was, like, fun.
That makes sense. Kind of.
Yeah. Yeah. I brought 4 physical video games. I brought Skyrim, obviously.
How many copies of Skyrim?
Oh, just the Switch copy.
Okay.
I just started a new game on that one recently. I brought Grand Theft Auto 5. And I think I brought Dragon Quest XI Echoes of a New Age S Definitive Edition. That game is, like, every time I hear somebody talk about the game, they're mentioning more hundreds of hours, and now, like, I'm, like, 20 hours into this game. And if you do everything, it's conceivable that you will spend 200 hours playing this video game. And that seems kind of daunting. I've already done that.
Say that one more time, I'm sorry.
Which part? Like the whole thing?
The very end.
I've already, like, put 200 plus hours into a video game. And I don't know that I can, like, I like a cool experience, but one that I can finish pretty quick and play again, not just keep playing.
Then play it a different way. Play with a different character. Create a different thing and start it over.
Yeah. No, but, like, Dragon Quest is one. I'm talking about just, like, to finish the game itself. It's, like, 200 plus hours. Not, like, in Skyrim, you can fuck around. You never have to touch the ending at any point. And you can become this unstoppable murder monster.
It's like the general goal of all of my D&D characters.
Let me tell you, Wolfgang,
how can I become a literal whirlwind of death?
Wolfgang Tiberius was like, he was the definition of a tank. Dude was massive. And he could, like, it got to a point where combat was boring. Because I was just like, one hit kill just about anything.
Yeah, that would become pretty boring.
Yeah. But that game was well over 300 hours I had put into it. That save. I had done almost everything except for my PlayStation died before I got to the Dragonborn DLC. And I've yet to finish that one.
Huh.
Yeah.
That just seems like such an incredible amount of game. Like, I'm staring 120-some-odd hours of Mass Effect, and it's intimidating to me, too. Like, last night I got, like, I just put my controller down, and I was like, I can't do this anymore right now.
You gotta know when to walk away. Like, we're not...
Yeah, like, I...
You can't sit in that position and play video games staring at a TV for that long anymore. I like games that I can play for quick...
I mean, don't,
like,
get me wrong.
Hour
I have
to an
no.
Hour at a time.
Yeah, I definitely want to put the time into it, but, like, there are other games I play with other people.
Yeah. Oh, you play
and,
online?
Like, I already. Well, me and John, we play Warzone rather frequently. I'm still terrible at it, and I will always be terrible at it. It's because I just
that was me at Counter Strike.
Yeah, I have, you know, a few tobacco cigarettes while I'm playing.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm not going to be as quick on the draw. I'm not, I mean, there are games, don't get me wrong, like, if we play for long enough, suddenly I hit these strides where I'm getting 5, 6, 7 kills in a game.
Yeah.
But then, you know, that's only for, like, two games, and then I'm right back down to, like, one or two if I'm lucky.
That was – so I had this perfect level of, like, light beer drunk where I was just – I would, like, destroy. I would, like, clean up at Counter-Strike. But anywhere inside or outside, I would get, like, a streak of five or six, maybe. And it was this delicate balance.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what it is. I mean, it probably doesn't help that I'm even like most of the console players that are playing Warzone now have Xbox Series X's.
Yeah.
And
you can play cross generation or
yeah, no, you like, can play cross generation. They have cross platforming too. Like you can play PC, Xbox and PlayStation in the same lobby.
Oh, wow.
But, like, obviously PC gamers absolutely destroy in that.
Yeah.
I just prefer a console. I just prefer a controller. I don't know, you know, necessarily know why, but I just do.
Yeah. No, I've, like, it's the way I've always felt the most comfortable playing video games. I had a pirated copy. Grand Theft Auto San Andreas on my PC at home. And I programmed a gamepad to work with it. Because I just couldn't handle doing the like keyboard shit. Dude, you're gonna hurt yourself. Get down.
Like, I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm sure for, like, competitive gaming, it's way better because you can just roll your fingers and your guy moves. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know. I just prefer controllers. You can, and I can already hear the PC gamers in the world, oh, the PC is so much better! And I'm like,
but,
yeah,
like,
that's all.
Like, 75%. Excuse me. 75% of those PC gamers are using Xbox controllers.
Yeah.
Because you can easily hook an Xbox controller up to a PC.
I'm like strongly deliberating getting one of those like Elite controllers.
Yeah.
They hear they're pretty
BJ's,
fucking fly.
BJ's got one of those pro controllers for PS4 and I just like I don't like it. It's not comfortable in my hands. There's too much going on with it.
Yeah, that's yeah, I get it. I mean,
I'm
yeah,
cool
that's,
with my Chinese and, knockoff PS4 controller.
And like going back to what you said about all those, a lot of streamers use Xbox controllers.
Yeah, that's just like the agreed upon controller. That's like everybody likes an Xbox controller. I'm cool with it. I like my sticks on the bottom. My PS4 is like the most comfortable controller. It's my favorite controller so far. Sega
I like
Genesis
the Xbox
gives it a run for its money. The Sega Genesis controller is very comfortable.
That's true. It
it's
is
like,
just one curvy
it's,
plastic.
It's like it's built for an adult man's hands. And I don't understand why, because it's like a toy. For children.
I mean, the original Sega was designed more for adults.
Yeah, it was definitely
that's
more,
Nintendo,
at
that's,
least for teens.
That's
Sega does
Nintendo,
what Nintendo don't.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's what Nintendo came out for, was for kids.
Oh, did Nintendo take away
marketed,
your blood? Come on over here to Sega Genesis. We'll give you the blood. You get the blood on Sega
yeah.
Genesis.
But, like, that's the truth, though.
Yeah. I was listening to a podcast the other day. They were talking about Mortal Kombat. Probably a few weeks ago at this point, actually. But they were talking about Mortal Kombat. And this guy was talking about when he first played Mortal Kombat. After school, the day it came out on Sega Genesis, they went to Funko Land in Franklin, Massachusetts.
Oh, I remember Funko Land.
And they bought it for Sega.
Yeah.
And they had to, sneak it back into the house to play it. They had to, lock the door.
My mom, speaking of Funko Land, we're going to have a discussion. My mom pre-ordered me Pokemon Yellow for my birthday one year.
Nice.
And she was like, I know it's coming out, it's before your birthday and this, that, and the other, but I know how much you love Pokemon, so I pre-ordered this for your birthday, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And I remember how excited I was when it was the day for it to come out, and I got new batteries for my Game Boy, I was ready to play the fuck out of that game. They lost my reservation.
Motherfuckers.
And my mom kept the receipt, and she kept everything. Eventually, they had to give her a copy.
Yeah.
But I remember we stood in that store, Michael, for 3 hours while they figured it out.
Yeah.
And people were, just getting their copies and leaving. And I looked at the dude, and I was, I don't know, maybe 10?
Yeah.
Or 11 or 12 when it came. I don't remember I don't remember when the game was released, even, but...
So I
remember
believe,
looking at the dude.
Yellow was 98.
So yeah, I would have been. I would have been 11.
Yeah.
Pokemon 10 or 11. And I looked at the guy behind the counter and I said, "Can you make sure that there's still going to be one there for me?" And he looked back at me and said, "Your reservation doesn't exist. I don't know what to tell you." And my mom, I thought my mother was going to snatch this man's soul out of his chest.
Oh, I can only imagine.
And she looked up at him and said, "Listen, I'm holding the receipt. I want the copy of the game."
Yeah.
And eventually, they had to call a corporate manager and all these other things, and they gave us the game.
Oh, my God. So fucking stupid.
And they, dragged it out to him. My mom was like, "We are never... ever going back there ever again."
Yeah.
And then it became GameStop and everything was okay again.
GameStop came and swallowed everybody up. You remember Babbage's? Did you ever go to Babbage's at the Natick Mall?
No.
Did you ever go to the GameStop at the Natick Mall? Like the old one, not the new one? Like
the
corner
old one,
GameStop?
Yeah.
That was Babbage's.
Okay.
The GameStop came and gobbled them up. Babbage's was... for all intents and purposes, it was the same as Funko Land or GameStop. It was just predominantly PC games. I bought
and this is back when PC games. Remember the giant boxes they came in?
Yeah. No, we've got
all
at
for
my dad's house.
All for one CD
ROM. So many
ROM.
Fucking boxes. Because they came with stuff. They came with manuals, and they came with some of them came with little . They called them feelies. They were little things from the game, but as little plastic toys. Space Quest always did stuff like that.
Did you ever play The Dig?
Yes. Yes, I did. I think we're getting, or it might already be out. Hold on, let me Google something. I think there is I'm pretty sure there is a re-release or a remake of The Dig.
For what?
Modern consoles.
No.
I don't know. I feel like it's either out or it's on the way.
I think we talked about this. I feel like we talked about this.
The Dig Remastered. So, yeah, it's out on, current-gen consoles.
From the Xbox Store?
I think so. I don't know, actually. It looks like I can't find anything now, but I'm pretty sure that I read something about them doing a 3D, like an HD remaster. Double Fine does those. They've done a great job. They did Full Throttle and Grim Fandango and Day of the Tentacle. Some really like iconic adventure games.
It's on Steam.
Nice. Can you do Steam?
I don't know.
Well, yeah, like
Xbox.
It was like they re-released the game itself, like the original game, which I'm not saying is a bad thing. Like, that's cool too. But they re-released
in
2009.
Well, here's the best thing about The Dig. It was made by LucasArts.
So the art, the control style, everything, it ages so well. Like, I love
it
so much.
It's a LucasArts game dreamed up by Steven Spielberg, released by Sierra.
Yeah. No, it was not released by Sierra. Sierra and Lucasfilm,
it wasn't?
No. It was released, LucasArts was, it was LucasArts and Sierra. They were the two big, like, monsters of adventure gaming.
That's true.
LucasArts did all their own, like, publishing and everything. But it's, like, some of the most iconic video games of, like, the late 80s into the mid-90s came out of LucasArts. Just like the movies. I've got this book. It's about, like, classic point-and-click adventure games. And it's, like, a textbook. And it's just got a year-by-year history, beginning to end, of, like, all the biggest, like, video game developers and all the games they've made and everything.
Yeah.
Like, the Sierra and Lucasfilm ones are, like, books all by themselves. Hold on, let me see if I got any more notes here. You been doing anything cool? You up to anything?
There's a new Magic set being released soon, Modern Horizons 2.
Sweet.
I've only seen one card so far that I kind of want to put in a deck out of it. I'm kind of doing my best to not buy a shit ton of cardboard anymore.
Uh-huh.
I mean, aside from the fact that the value of it keeps going up and up, which is good, and that I'm happy about, but I'm already at the point where, like, playing functionable decks, if I want to build a new one, I need to dismantle an old one.
Okay.
No, I mean, and that's just to, like, cannibalize cards out of it.
Yeah.
And then buy other expensive pieces of cardboard to kind of fill in the gaps.
It's like,
so I'm trying not to do that. I'm trying not to do that anymore.
So I've got a note. You texted me the other night, and I was like half asleep when I got the text, and I just took a note of what you said. And here in my notes, it just says, "There's only one ocean."
Oh, okay. Okay. Controversial opinion of the week, then. There is only one ocean. Prove me wrong.
So, every large interconnected body of water is just one large interconnected body of water, is what you're telling me.
Yes.
we've just named, I feel like that's exactly what it is, though. We've just named, like, they do have their own, like, ecosystems and stuff. Like, there are different kinds of animals and different depths and different, like, things happening in all the different places. But I guess if you're just talking about water by itself, that is all just one piece of water.
I saw that in a video. It made me laugh, and I wanted to share it with you as well.
Yes. That sounds dangerously close to me, though, to the Earth is flat.
But the Earth is flat.
I'm not even going to talk to you about the shape of the Earth. So.
there's another guy on the TikToks. I watch TikTok, like, when it's kind of like I'm when it's dead at work and I don't have anything else to do.
Yeah.
So, like, or when I'm pooping, always gonna have something to do when you poop. And he said, he's like, five reasons why the Earth can't be flat, and I'm gonna love each and every single one of these.
Yeah. Have you watched Behind the Curve?
No. I know Will and Casey did.
Yeah, so it's a good movie.
Or did, wait, no, like, I'm not thinking of this. Is this
the one about
the
flat Earth
documentary?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw
but
it,
I can't,
like,
I can't. You gotta watch the whole thing. Because those people are, they're special. They're very, very special. And I don't want to give anything away because I wasn't prepared for what kind of movie I was going to watch. Not like, a strange,
like,
way,
I,
but like a...
I watched part of it where they were, like, trying to prove that the Earth was flat because this laser wouldn't curve around the world or something like that.
Yeah.
And they were, like, shining it.
They just kept
fucking
it up.
It.
They couldn't get it to line up to save their lives, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because the Earth curves.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that was the whole point for the movie for me. I was like, all right, so, like, this is just what it is. It's them just being proved wrong over and over and over and over.
Yeah. But how do you explain a level? How do you explain that?
How do I what?
How do you explain a level? How, you can put it on a shelf and it shows you if it's flat. How do you explain that existing?
That hurts my brain.
All right, with that, I think I will bid you a fond farewell, my friend.
I think we crushed it today.
I just want to say before we go that nobody emailed us.
Nobody emailed us? This is bullshit.
Nobody emailed us, but I'm gonna keep pointing out that nobody's emailing us until somebody emails us. That is keepingthefat@gmail.com.
Indeed.
All right. I'll talk to you later, sir.
I'll talk to you later, bud. Bye.
Bye.